Hello and welcome to the Ship Energy Podcast with me, Ariane Morrissey. As the dust begins to settle on the decision to postpone the IMO Net Zero framework by a year, one of many questions emerging is what knock-on impact the delay will have on renewable fuel production projects. Many of those projects' developers had hoped that the formal adoption of a first global GHG pricing mechanism for international shipping would bring regulatory certainty that would then lead to the long-term offtake agreements that they need to secure financing, reach a final investment decision, and ultimately start production. So where does the one-year delay leave them now? We'll dive into this question with Vitaly Protasov, co-founder and CEO of Jenna Solutions, a Finland-based company that has been tracking and analyzing renewable ammonia and methanol projects worldwide since 2023. Welcome to the podcast, Vitaly.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
So I know that you track those projects very closely. Are you already seeing the effect of the postponement of the IMO Net Zero framework in the number and status of production projects for renewable ammonia and methanol?
There is no evident effect yet. And the renewable methanol project pipeline increased by about 900 kilotons in October. And renewable ammonia increased by 200 kilotons. So pretty normal numbers. Even one hybrid biomethanol project in China started construction just last week. But typically there is a certain time lag between some negative events like the IMO net zero from rock delay and visible effects such as project cancellations or a slowdown in new project appearances. There could be some hidden effects, of course. Some companies may have postponed previously planned offtake agreements and delayed reaching the final investment decisions, but we wouldn't know about that.
So you talk about a lag to be able to see the impact of any big event. So when do you expect we'll be in a better position to assess whether or not the IMO Net Zero framework delay had an impact on that renewable fuel pipeline?
So I think that next year we'll see it. So we'll need to wait a couple months. So in 2026, there will be a moment and we will be able to say that, okay, that's really happening. So I think that there will be effect, 100% sure that there will be effect. So the question is how large would it be?
And now you say that there will definitely be an effect. I was curious about whether the delay with the IMO Net Zero framework mean that those green fuel production projects will simply be postponed by a year, or do you anticipate that many will not survive and will just be cancelled altogether? In other words, can renewable fuel producers afford to sit back and wait while the IMO member states kind of decide what they do with the IMO Net Zero framework?
Well, I think that they shouldn't just sit and wait, and that's a very bad strategy for any project developer. Generally, I expect that, start from the beginning, that expect that shipping companies will be reluctant to sign new offtake agreements, binding long-term offtake agreements during this year, and at least until the next MEPC meeting. And because such agreements are essential to secure equity and debt financing for most projects, particularly South China. So the lack of offtake agreements is already a major challenge, and because of the whole uncertainty and the high costs of renewable fuel production. So this is a key challenge preventing many projects from reaching FID. This was before the IMO and the delay, and so that its delay just only amplifies this kind of challenge. So I think that we will see different reactions from different projects. Some projects that have already secured their offtake and they're already mature enough, so they could continue to advance and to develop to start construction or start continue engineering, but others may need to find we will need more time to convince buyers, investors, creditors, or to identify and find new partners for them. And so, for example, some methanol projects might attempt to reorient their projects to some other industries like aviation or chemical industries, or even explore some vertical integration with methanol to olefins and methanol to jet projects. But such shifts could result in a multi-year delay, maybe not just 1 year. And some projects will inevitably fail to secure additional financing or to get some decisions from their investors. And so they will be cancelled. And roughly half of renewable methanol projects under development right now are led by independent developers, so like startup companies. And for them, this period of heightened uncertainty is particularly risky. And so, regardless of the MEPC decision, I should say that, some projects would have been frozen anyway. So because the total project pipeline under development is much bigger than the volume of the consumption of the total market. So before the decision, we expected that many projects will be frozen, but there's high uncertainty and lower demand caused by the IMO and their delay will increase share of projects that would be cancelled eventually.
And do you see a similar scenario for ammonia, or is the market quite different in that case?
Yeah, so the market is quite different, and so our expectations for ammonia usage as a shipping fuel were pretty low. So we already anticipated a relatively limited use of renewable ammonia in the shipping sector over the next 5 years. And so because of that, the impact of the IMO delay would be much less prominent for ammonia than for methanol.
Now, I'd like to hear you about the longer term effect of the delay on the amount of renewable ammonia and renewable methanol that will be available for shipping in 5, 10, 15 years, because we know it takes several years before the moment a project is initiated and the moment it actually enters production. So projects that will be operational in 2030 are more or less being confirmed now. So what projections can we make at this stage, and have those changed as a result of the IMO decision?
So we have revised both our conservative and optimistic scenarios for renewable methanol downwards and following the IMO decision. And at the same time, we widened the range of possible outcomes because, the uncertainty is now higher, and we don't know what would happen next year with the next session. So we currently, our latest outlook suggests that renewable methanol capacity could range between 6 and 13 million tons by the end of 2030. And that's our expectation so far. We'll see how this will evolve. But in case of renewable ammonia, we remained our scenarios unchanged after the IMO decision. So it's still at 5 to 10 million tons of renewable ammonia in 2030. Again, as I mentioned, that's because we are not expecting any material demand in ammonia for in shipping.
And for our listeners who perhaps have not seen the figures from the previous projections, how different are those those new projections from what they were before that MEPC extraordinary session?
Yeah, so before we expected for methanol, 8 to 14 million tons, but the effect is not only on capacity, but also on the production and the utilization rate. So the capacity will be lower and the average utilization rate will be low.
And now you mentioned at the beginning that we know that the postponement of the IMO net zero framework is going to have an impact. What is unknown is the scale of that impact. If I ask you to look ahead and look in the crystal ball, what would be your prediction of what is the proportion of projects, for example, that might not move forward, or what is going to be the impact more generally?
Yeah, so that it's hard to say right now. So unfortunately, we don't have a crystal ball. the demand reduction because of IMO delay, or substantial delay, will be material. So it means that we are losing millions of tons of demand of renewable fuels. It means that the corresponding amount of projects will be either delayed or frozen. So just inevitably, the consequence of this event.
And now, from the perspective of developers of renewable ammonia and methanol projects, how significant is demand from the maritime sector? Do you think that there's a possibility that projects will still go ahead, but the production will instead go to other sectors like industry, aviation, or power generation, for example?
Yeah. So that's a lot depends on the product. So in maritime industry was and still is the key driver for renewable methanol demand. So, and even now, so full EU maritime and EU ETS, well, together will provide about, well, covers about 20% of global bunkering demand. And so it will continue to generate substantial demand for all renewable fuels. And even without IMO net zero framework. But the demand will be significantly lower. So before the MEPC delay decision about the delay of the net zero framework approval, so we expected about 83% of the global renewable methanol demand would come from the maritime sector. So more than 80%, and other key sectors for methanol includes chemicals, aviation, and road fuels. I believe that there is a substantial long-term potential for renewable methanol in chemical and aviation industries, and we are actually tracking a wave of new projects. I mean, methanol to jet and methanol to olefins projects that appeared just last year. During the last year. But demand from these projects will mainly materialize later. So it's 2029, 2030 and beyond. And the IMO NZF was expected to generate a major demand increase already from 2028. So we'll see the lower demand and the later demand. The situation with renewable ammonia is quite opposite. So by our estimates, only about 10% of renewable ammonia consumption by 2030 could come from maritime industry, from shipping. And so I think that both safety and toxicity concerns remain the major challenge to ammonia widest adoption of the bunker fuel. So from my perspective, the most promising opportunities for renewable ammonia lie in substituting conventional ammonia in fertilizers and chemicals. Well, there will be also some demand for ammonia as a hydrogen and energy carrier.
Now, you mentioned some EU regulation like Fuel EU Maritime and EU ETS. Do you think that those regional regulations are going to be enough to keep up that demand and keep driving some of those renewable fuels projects, even with the IMO net zero framework delay?
Yes, there will be enough for some of them, but less than we expected before.
Now, I know you mainly track ammonia and methanol projects, but I kind of wanted to hear you about how prospects for those two fuels compare with other alternative marine fuels like bio-LNG or biofuels? Do you think that investment is more likely to go to those so-called transitional fuels instead, at least in the short term?
Well, I think that, well, IMO and ZEV delay will shrink the overall market for all renewable fuels. And, well, but projects that require higher investments or taking higher risks or making long-term commitments will be affected disproportionately. And so, of course, for like HVO or Ukoma, well, this is a drop-in fuel that doesn't require investments in new vessels. And mainly, well, this would be supplied from the existing facilities. And so they will be affected much less than any new large capital investments. But again, the question is about availability of these projects, taking into account competition from the aviation industry for used cooking oil and other feedstocks, and competition from road fuels industry. So when we talk about the liquefied biomethane and bio-LNG, again, and well, if you could use, well, existing LNG facility and already ordered LNG fueled vessels, well, it's a kind of a less risky solution for many companies. And just you need to find biomethane, which is again a quite a limited feedstock, and you could use this biomethane both to produce bio-LNG or biomethanol, including existing or new facilities which are already under construction. So in this regard, of course, creating, well, investment in new methanol or ammonia-fueled vessels, it's a more, well, it's a higher risk for shipping companies, and investments in methanol and ammonia projects is a higher risks for project developers, especially when we talk about the larger scale projects. So because well, with a higher scale of the project, you could reach a lower cost, but this requires a much larger market to put this product. And so that for very large mega scale projects, the shrinking of the demand is a not good sign. And the projects with a lower cost will have some advantages because, well, now consumers, the remaining customers could select the suppliers with a lower cost and lower carbon intensity. So in this regard, some biomethanol have some advantages, or biofuels or bio-LNG have advantages. But at the same time, because we now have only full EU maritime, meaning about the talking about the regulations that support use, the full EU maritime includes a multiplier for airfin BO fuels, which supports usage of e-fuels because, well, this would be the main demand for in the maritime industry without net zero framework. So it's all complicated.
And so if we focus again on renewable methanol and ammonia, what regions or countries will be particularly impacted if, as we anticipate, the signing of offtake agreements slows down and FIDs are postponed?
I think that all regions where these projects are based will feel the impact, and the key factors to consider when answering this question are probably cost competitiveness, the geographical distribution of demand, state support, and the current size of the project pipeline in each region. And for example, China accounts for more than 50% of all, about 59% of all renewable methanol projects globally. So, well, naturally, it will be affected by the IMO delay because most projects are anyway in China. But at the same time, Chinese projects tend to have lower costs, and many of them are already pretty mature. So this kind of reduce the effect for China in this regard. Europe, by contrast, has a large number of very early stage projects, but it is, well, Europe is also the main demand center for these renewable fuels. And, well, especially without a net zero framework. And Europe also offers the strongest level of the state support, well, globally. So this includes the PUTS, FuEU Maritime, the Innovation Fund, European Hydrogen Bank, the H2 Global Mechanism, and others. Just yesterday, additional funding to maritime fuel projects was announced under the Sustainable Transport Investment Plan. So in a sense, these factors kind of help balance the impact of the IMO delay in Europe. So everybody would be affected, but well, there are some balancing mechanisms also.
So you describe state support as one of the factors that will influence how different countries or regions are impacted. Do you anticipate that some states will step up their support or jump in more to support their national industries? And should they do that to keep those projects alive while the IMO waits to make a decision on the net zero framework?
Yeah, so I think that the net zero framework was still great mechanism, because it could create a truly global carbon pricing system to support decarbonization efforts in shipping worldwide. And in its absence, well, government support would be essential. And this government support could go through the local or regional regulations like FuEU Maritime and emission trading systems. Or it could also be direct aid to project developers or shipping companies or infrastructure providers. And so, well, the governments that think that decarbonization is important and viable, and including decarbonization of the shipping industry, well, that probably they need to step in and help the industry to decarbonize.
Now, looking ahead, we know that work at the IMO is continuing on the development of guidelines, including on rewards for the use of zero and near zero fuels, and also on GHG life cycle assessments. Do you think that could provide some clarity to the industry about what kind of fuels and what production pathways will be compliant? Or is all of that a bit meaningless in business sense until the framework itself is actually adopted?
I think it's important to continue the work on implementation guidelines. And even if the net zero framework had been approved in October, uncertainty would still remain around the life cycle assessment methodology and the zero net zero rewards mechanism and distribution. So I think that better understanding of possible outcomes of the NZF approval, which is still possible, I hope. So this would be very helpful for developers and could hopefully strengthen support from some member states next year. So I wish that this work would continue and will be successfully complete.
And to finish, I know you'll be quite busy in the months ahead. What signs will you be monitoring in the coming weeks, coming months, to be able to assess the full impact of the IMO net zero framework delay on the development of renewable fuels for shipping?
Yeah, so key indicators that we'll be monitoring include the total capacity of projects advancing to construction and engineering. The second is the total capacity of projects being frozen. This is a tricky one, but still important. The third is the volume of new offtake agreements, especially binding offtake agreements, meaning in the shipping industry. And the fourth is number and capacity of new dual fuel orders. And all this together will be compared against the previous years, and this will help to assess the real effect of this decision.
Thank you very much, Vitaly.
Thank you, Ariane.